All right, we're at the end. We're at time, folks. So just so you know, the future of all video games is just The Witcher 3 some more.
Maybe even Cyberpunk 2021 or 2023. 2019? 2099. All right, bye.
God damn it, Jedediah. Welcome to Sit Sock.
Thank you, Jedediah.
Kendrick.
Kyle.
Joe.
Jedediah.
Oh, Jedediah, it's good to see you.
Yes, welcome
it's good
aboard,
of you to be
Jedediah.
With us today. Dang. How's everybody doing?
I'm finally not sick.
Yeah, Joe's alive. Gordon's alive.
I shall now be answering to Gordon. Kevin shall now be played by Jedediah, and Kendrick and Kyle shall be themselves. Actually, they'll be playing each other.
Yeah, I
go.
I don't want to be that. I don't want this. I don't
yeah, that's hard. I think we've known each other for too long. I don't think we could actually effectively pretend to be each other.
And it's too because real to what people in real life seem to already think that we're like the same person somehow.
I have had that happen a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Not the most awkward, unintentional, misidentification, but still funny.
So, the Uncharted movie was awesome.
Oh, yeah? Oh shit! I gotta go watch that.
It was fun. It's definitely got, like, stupid things in it, but it's...
Well, yeah, it's Uncharted.
Yeah, I was like, if you didn't like the movie, and you thought it was kind of cheesy and a little hokey sometimes and had stupid little things, you probably never played an Uncharted game, which is fair. Like...
I mean,
but you're probably not the target audience for that thing.
I haven't really played many of the. I've never played an Uncharted actually, but Garion has played a number of them. I think Kate played a few of them, and I remember Kyle coming over at one point and playing Uncharted. I remember watching and being like, "Oh, like so this is like it's like Tomb Raider, yeah,
yeah."
It was like a dude, yeah.
But you kill way more people.
You kill a lot of people, yeah. This is fucking ridiculous, yeah. All right, cool, like it. That makes sense.
And Tom Holland, amazing. Like, I thought...
Well, that's good to hear.
To talk to your points, Joe, Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg were both amazing in that movie. And Mark Wahlberg is not as Mark Wahlberg-y, but kind of still Mark Wahlberg-y, but in a way that makes him a good character.
He can't get away with it, but I'll let it slide.
I don't know why you hate Mark Wahlberg so much.
We've talked about it so many fucking times. I don't.
But
know.
Like, I don't know
else what else to say. I just
say it again because I don't remember why you don't like him.
Because in general he's just kind of a douchebag. Usually he is like a one-trick pony. He plays the same character over and over. He just plays himself more often than not. And then he's also like got some legal issues that he had where he beat up a guy and has been, I believe, to this day annually requesting like sending a letter to this dude to forgive him, and the dude just has stopped responding because he's just like, no.
Wait. So he beat up a guy.
He beat up a guy.
That's
Mark
not
Wahlberg
that bad,
beat up a guy.
We've all beat up a guy.
We've all
yeah,
beat
like
up
we've
a guy.
All beaten someone up.
Not.
He's trying to apologize to this guy actively.
And the guy is like, no.
The guy's being an asshole because he's like, you apparently did something so bad to me that
you
I
should
forgive you.
You should actually look that up and see the story on that. But regardless, I just don't care for him as an actor. I just don't. He's just
Have
one of those
faces.
Have
you seen the other guys
that...
at all? Are you like a fan of like Will Ferrell-ish kind of comedy?
It's kind of touch and go for me.
Okay.
If I'm
well,
honest.
I
like,
can see why.
Will Ferrell's a coin toss. He's either great or he's terrible, and there's no middle.
He's either Will Ferrell or he's Will Ferrell.
Yeah. The reason I bring it up is because we watch like Step Brothers and the other guys like a lot with Kevin and his wife. Like, whenever we're just, like, chilling out, the end of night movies are just these really fucking dumb comedies that we can
yeah.
just quote verbatim. And I don't know. I think that's why I have such an affection for Mark Wahlberg. Well, part of the reason
okay.
I have an affection for him
you
is,
know
like,
what?
He's just been into good comedies.
I think for, like, four different separate podcasts, I've dunked on Mark Wahlberg. I will say this. I absolutely loved him in The Departed.
Yeah.
He was great in The Departed. The Departed.
Depot.
I'm the guy who does his job. You must be the other guy.
All right, anyway,
that's a classic.
Uncharted
anyway.
Movie, really good. If you want just some kind of dumb action movie, yeah, I would say go see it. It's a pretty good film. Like it's entertaining and.
Somebody was mentioning online that it broke the video game to movie curse, and it's like doing really well in the box office. But
really?
I feel
yeah.
like that's a... I feel like if any movie was going to do that, Uncharted would be that game. Like, be that game to movie that would do that. Because playing the game and watching someone plays the game...
It's like a movie.
It's basically a movie that you somewhat interact with.
Yeah. That's why I love playing them every year, because I get to just watch a movie, like a movie that I like, every year.
And you take part in it. It's cool. Yeah. It's like, and you know, that's not a bad thing. It's not like a dig at it or anything. It's just like,
no, that's how I feel.
Yeah, it's like if any movie was gonna succeed where like all other video game editions failed, apparently, that'd be the one to do it. I'm trying now to think of video game movies.
Well, go ahead, Kendrick.
Go ahead. No, I was gonna say it's good because it didn't Tomb Raider tank at one point.
The first one was actually did really well, and then the sequel.
You mean the
like
Angelina Jolie one? Or are you talking? Because there's Tomb Raider has like two generations.
Oh shit, that's right.
There's
like, two. Yeah. Okay.
The original games, and then the Angelina Jolie movies that were loosely, if not at all, based on those games. But similarly,
I'm just trying to think about how I'm just trying to make it into a gender thing, okay? Yeah. Because
trying to
Uncharted,
take it to a racist place. I'm not gonna let him.
It looks actually. I just pulled it up. Gentlemen, I just pulled it up. It looks like they hit $100 million global box office on the weekend, which pretty damn respectable, even for pre-lockdown times.
Yeah.
$100 million on one weekend, on the opening weekend, is a. I think I don't know what the record is, but that's up there.
Well, Tom Holland is still riding the high from having Far From Home be like probably the biggest grossing movie of all time, I think, at this point now.
Well, yeah,
which is so
like,
crazy.
No Way Home got like ridiculous.
No, Far which From is... Home is
oh,
like
Far From
the
Home?
One. The newest one is the one that like is fucking up records all over.
Isn't
the
place. That No Way Home?
That's No Way
no,
Home.
No, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I'm
didn't
an idiot.
It finally
yeah, you're an idiot.
Kick what's it called off the throne?
Avatar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Holy shit, did it?
Yeah,
that's
it did.
Wild, because it's a threequel. Like,
yeah.
How did that happen? How did more people watch
because
the third
movie because it brings
the
generations
the
together.
You're not wrong, Walter.
But, like, I was you're thinking of video game movies. I'm thinking Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, Sonic,
amazing.
I was thinking.
The Resident Evil movie, I think, did a very good job of doing what these new video game movies are doing, which is taking their own path with light source material reference.
I think, like, you literally said that last podcast too. You're not wrong. I just wanted to say it's like it. I think you actually did say that word for word.
And it's like I think it's genius because what they did with the Uncharted movie, not to super spoil it because it's just mostly an action movie, is they combined like they basically consolidated a bunch of the fourth game, Thief's End, where you meet Drake's brother for the first time and stuff, into this movie to establish like the universe, right? And it is not correct, as we previously thought, that Tom Holland is playing a young Nathan Drake. He's playing Nathan Drake. Like, he is...
Like, current Nathan Drake.
The current Nathan Drake. Like, there's someone different cast as young Nathan Drake, and he's, like, maybe a little bit early/beginning of his career, Nathan Drake, but, I mean, Nathan Drake in...
Is it Finn Wolfhard? I'd be okay if it was Finn Wolfhard.
No, it's some weird actor that they claim is 10 years old at some point, and you're like, there's no fucking way that guy's 10. Like... So it doesn't matter.
They've been casting 20-somethings as teenagers for decades, man. Like,
but I'm really a big fan of this. Like, let's like lightly address and reference some of the source material, and then just kind of start off our own franchise.
Hey, that's cool. I dig it. I mean, okay, to a point. So you brought up Resident Evil, which again, you and I watched the new one, the one that just came out in theaters recently together, and that one is awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, by the way, not the old ones.
The old ones, ironically, kind of rode the same path. Sorry, I just had to collect my thoughts on how I was going to say this. They basically rode the same path as the games did, as far as, like, storytelling-wise, where, like, the first two were, like, zombie survival horror, and then the third one's, like, here's, like, a new mechanic, or, like, a new style that kind of starts to dominate the series. And then it goes into anime and becomes like, because even in the games, like in 5, Resident Evil 5, spoilers for anybody who cares, there's a part where you're fighting Wesker, who is literally anime teleporting around.
Oh, that's right.
Which is an interesting dynamic, because he's like supposed to just be like super fast. Like they did that in, like, you see him again in Code Veronica and he like just moves really fast. He's straight up like Nightcrawler bamfing around.
Like and automatic then, transmission Goku-ing.
Yeah, and then...
Instant transmission.
Sir. Instant transmission, yep. And then
funnily enough, Japanese translates closer to automatic.
I think you'll find Kyle, go fuck yourself.
But then, funnily enough, they took that fight from 5, and I can't remember which movie it is, but they redid that fight. Like, they choreographed that fight from the game in the movie. Between Chris and his sister in Wesker instead of Chris and Sheva like it was in the game. But the moves are the same. Which I was laughing about when I actually saw it, because me and Steve used to play the shit out of 5. So we had that fight down. And it's like a quick time event. So like the beats are all the same. You just have to push the buttons at the right time, right? And wiggle the sticks. But yeah, just like that series just kind of jumped the shark after a while, and it was like that those movies stopped really doing well, but they were just, I feel like they did well enough that they could finance the next one, and they're just like, fuck it, we're gonna just throw names in, fuck the source material, we're doing whatever we want, and also Alice has magic psychic powers, and she can
fuck lift. It, we'll do it live.
Yeah, it just goes, it goes off the rails. Even for a Resident Evil, which is pretty well known. And again, that was kind of my point. It's like the game series started going off the rails. The movie started going off the rails, but in a different way. It's very strange how all of that happens.
Where we're going, we won't need rails.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people feel that way with the new Pokemon, too. Like, I think Kate said this, where she was like, I just got too distracted with all the other shit to do in an open world version of Pokemon. You know,
Yeah. Open world Pokemon, I haven't got it yet. I haven't got into it yet, but I feel like that's going to be one where I'll probably do the same thing I did with Skyrim. And
every
other
Elder
Scrolls.
Did you finish Breath of the Wild?
Never started it.
Okay. Cuz I definitely feel the similarities between that and Genshin Impact and this new Pokemon game. I just keep getting distracted collecting shit, running around. Like I'm like, "Oh god, fuck, I got to go over here and do this." And it's like so cool. But also completely and utterly overwhelming. Like
I gotta say, as somebody who has ADHD, Breath of the Wild was difficult to get to complete, to like really actually go and complete. And Genshin is having kind of that same effect where I'm like, I'm gonna go do this thing, and I get distracted by every new shiny thing along the way, and I have to re-teleport somewhere across the map to figure out what the fuck it was I was doing in the first place.
I honestly think in Genshin they reward you a lot for exploration.
They really do.
Chests and stuff. And so I think that's completely fine in certain games. Pokemon, I'm not convinced yet. So we'll see. But I do like it.
Yeah, I don't mind them pulling the game into the new sort of meta, right? Like, Pokemon's been resting on its laurels, kind of. I mean, that's not fair to say. But I mean, the Pokemon mechanic, the way the game was made,
the formula
is really it's like 30 years old, right? Like, it was good when it came out, but it's an old turn-based friggin' RPG with like collect-em-all kind of attitude, and I feel like not to like say that the first one's knocked it out of the park so well that you can't follow that, but like, how many Pokemons do we really need of that exact same thing?
But because
they haven't strayed far.
They established a genre. Like, Digimon did it. There's a Monster Hunter. There's Monster Hunter games that are similar. Like that whole collect, evolve. Well, not Monster Hunter, but Monster Hunter
stories.
I think it's called Monster Hunter Stories.
I'm actually playing on my Switch a kind of like an inspired clone called Monster Sanctuary. It's just very much Pokemon. Like, you're finding these monsters, you collect
Monster
them.
Monster Rancher, too? Yeah.
Monster Sanctuary.
Oh, Monster Rancher. Holy Rancher. Shit. Played that game.
Yeah.
Digimon? I mean, Digimon is like
Digimon.
Straight up.
Digital Monsters.
Yeah.
Digimon are the champions.
Champions.
Yeah.
But like, what are we at? 6 generations? How many times can you make the same game again?
6?
Okay. Well, times 2, because they
all right, here we go, everybody. Folks. We solved that problem. Thanks, everybody. And you're right, Kevin.
Two at a time.
There is some Yeah, 2 to 3 at a time. But like, I just appreciate that they're trying something a little different, even if what they're trying is something that was already established in another property.
Well, I was trying to think of this the other day, and it was like, it kind of goes back to Joe's comment, and I think something maybe Kevin and I were talking about, or maybe I had a dream about it, and I don't know. But, like, every game, like, where do we go after open world? Like, what is the next game type that isn't open world? Like,
narrative.
Yeah, I think back to single player narrative or multiplayer. But like, right? I don't know.
VR.
Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead. Go what you're saying.
But it's
VR.
Still open world, right? Like, you're still
No.
I
totally get what you're saying. I totally agree with you. And it is a conundrum. And I didn't mean to be dismissive, but I genuinely think, I have thought about this, and I know everything. I genuinely think that it is going to be the strong narrative. It's going to be a strongly, like, the characters are going to be the core. You're not going to pick who you look like, what you look like, who you are. It's going to go back to that, like...
The new God of War.
Yeah. God of War, Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy VII, like, we're going to go back to that.
But even think about, like, those games right now. Like, the God of War game right now does that, but it's still pushing towards more of an open-world game where you can kind of do things in the side and don't have to follow the main.
Right, but, like,
it's
God of War
1. It's not necessarily that it's... Okay. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, but, like, that was kind of when the new God of War, the revamp, released. That was right when EA... and a lot of big game companies were trying to push that multiplayer games and the microtransaction front were like the future of gaming because nobody does single player games anymore. Nobody does story driven adventures. And this is what the new market is. And God of War released for Sony and they just obliterated the market with that. And
yeah, I was going to say, cause like you have like Fallen Order and you have, like, all, like, what are the other ones I'm thinking of? Like, Dying Light is another one that's multiplayer and, but still narrative driven when you're playing single player.
Yeah.
Like Returnal, all that stuff is like just crazy single player games.
I think that there's, I think Kendrick's right. Much as I hate to say that out loud,
I know it's terrible.
But like, I think he's right in that there's kind of a big push right now to get more. Decent storytelling and more like, you know, captivating adventure that doesn't take like 300 hours that you have to sink your time into and feel a sense of accomplishment. Like you have, like there's more push towards better gameplay and more story driven elements. I think that's where a lot of the market's starting to push.
I think the big part
is the writing. People, yeah. I think, are gonna start wanting more writing because open world doesn't have good writing.
That's true. I think, yeah. I guess that's where I was kind of going is like there's got to be some kind of synergy between those two where you have someone perfect the open world game, and the way they do that is by creating a more cohesive narrative, right?
Kind of make an argument that Breath of the Wild actually handles that really well, which is weird to say for a Zelda series, but like. Even with it being open world, like, you're Link waking up 100 years after you failed to stop the Calamity. Like, you're literally walking around picking up the pieces, figuring out what happened when you died, basically, and kind of, like, trying to stop it again. And it is open world. You can explore, and you can go anywhere. You can do any of the missions and any of the bosses in any order. If you choose to, you can go from the beginning to the final boss and end the game right there. If you can tank Ganon. But like I think the storyline actually does really well in that particular format. If we've seen another one like that, I don't know. Skyrim has a pretty good like open world plus strong storyline, but it's also so much shit going on.
What's the story of Skyrim?
Your point, Kendrick, is that the like it's not so open, right? Like it's you can clearly definitively have a storyline that goes through without getting confused about where you're at or like what side quests you've done and what you need to continue to do the rest of the thing. Like you want that's the storytelling you're talking about, right? Is like kind of.
Yeah. What I mean is like. I want narrative. I want to care about the characters and you know, I want to know I want to see a hero's quest. And the problem is, if you have something like Skyrim or any Elder Scrolls, you can't do that because the character is you. You've made a character, and that makes it impossible for us to write around it. Otherwise, it's awful. And I played Skyrim for like maybe 10 hours. I don't think that game really has a strong narrative.
I'll give you that.
Because it's too vague. What's
the difference between... is where the term RPG becomes like way scattered, right? Because you could be role-playing this guy, right? It's an RPG, it's a role-playing game. But it could also be an RPG where you're fully customizing your character and pretty soon you just go punch the bad guy in the face and he's dead.
I would say Mass Effect does a good job of combining those things.
Ooh, yeah.
And potentially Dragon Age games, like BioWare games too.
No. BioWare are definitely on this radar. They're a thing here because you do have some choice and you have some influence. You have a discrete number of paths, right? You have choices you can make, but you probably really have like a dozen real paths forward in any BioWare game.
Yeah.
Now, you get to pick that, and that's great. And I do think that something like a BioWare game is probably going to be the upcoming what we're going to see more of. Because people still want to have influence over the story, but they want the narrative, right? Like, they're going to want human interaction, human stories, and meaningful choices. What of your choices in Skyrim changed the narrative? Now, you can do things and stuff happens, and that's great.
Actually,
but at the end of the day, it's not a compelling narrative story from, like, a novel standpoint.
I would say, based on that criteria, neither is Breath of the Wild. Because there's no decisions you make in Breath of the Wild that drastically affect the story, because it's the same story no matter what you do. You're trying to find Ganon.
Okay, I don't know if the way you're positioning, Kyle, I feel like that's the truth for any game.
Well, not a game like Knights of the Old Republic, where like you literally can change the entire decision tree of the game, or games like Danganronpa, or you know, things like Dying Light. What's the one that we play with the Wendigos? Until Dawn. That's what I'm thinking of. Like Until Dawn is probably the most narrative-driven game I've ever played in my life.
Well, so no, Danganronpa is a good example of this because you get the sense that you have some sort of narrative freedom, but it's 100% on rails.
Mm. Yeah,
that whole story is already made, and I think that's a great example of the kind of thing we're gonna maybe see coming up here, because we're going to want narrative, like a story. And like Breath of the Wild, Skyrim, or any of those other kinds of games are fun, but like all of the storylines and characters are a little bit kind of neutered because you need it to be vague enough that it still makes sense for all the possible humans and characters you're making. But like Witcher is more of an opinionated storyline that you participate in, but you already know the end.
Witcher a pretty open world game, Kevin? Like,
what's that?
Would you consider The Witcher 3 to be like open world?
Yeah, Witcher 3 is.
So maybe The Witcher 3 is the game that we're talking about. Like that.
So the future of all video games. All right, we're at the end. We're at time, folks. So just so you know, the future of all video games is just The Witcher 3 some more.
Maybe even Cyberpunk 2021 or 2023.
2099.
All right, bye.
Like, comment, and subscribe. Tell us about the future of video games, everybody. Bye.
Do it.
Bye.
Do it.